Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. One little verse, let me read it for you so you may be seated. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, particularly to those that are strong in faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may be seated. I don't know how many times in my life I've been told by an array of people, don't get your hopes up. People will say that, but my subject today is exactly the opposite. Get your hopes up. Very few people will say that to you. In fact, I don't recall anybody ever saying that to me until the last couple of weeks of my life, and it has become the mantra for Pastor Brandon and Pastor Becky. And Sister Becky and I have a tremendous argument and pray that it will not cause an indelible division in our life, but we are debating who said it first, whether I said it to her first or she said it to me. She contends she said it to me first. But I said, look, you already can sing and do all that. Give me a little something. But our mantra, our theme in our home and in our offices and in this church is get your hopes up. Nobody will say that to you. We are living in a world that is more negative than it's ever been. And I have just previously outlined to you, it can take you down, it can take you out, or praise God, it can motivate you to be more than you've ever been. It is literally the fertilizer of my faith that says, look what the world is doing, but my God is greater. What is hope? Desire that something good is going to happen. Something is going to get better. The best is yet to come. That is hope. Expectation that it's going to happen. Spiritual hope, which is another level altogether. It's going to happen based on my relationship with God. Friend, it's one thing just to say, well, things are going to work out and things are going to get better. But when you realize that you've got a relationship with God and your hope is based on that relationship, it's going to get better, it's going to be good, it's going to be exciting, because God loves you and God will not allow failure to be the atmosphere of your life. Condemnation destroys hope. That's the reason why sin has such an eradicating effect on people. Because when you have sin in your life, and you know you have sin in your life, it erodes your faith. You say, well, I don't think God's going to bless me, because I don't deserve to be blessed because I've failed and fallen and I've got sin in my life. But when you rise above that and you begin to realize I am the righteousness of God through Christ, you have tremendous, tremendous hope. You want to avoid interaction with God if you've got sin in your life. But when you realize that you're clothed with the righteousness of God, you want to draw near to God, which dispels doubt and fear. The Bible mentions the word hope 129 times. It's one of the most important virtues of the Christian walk, alongside of faith and love. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The most amazing thing about the text that I read you, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The most amazing thing about that text is that the Bible records that that hope precedes faith. There's not much that precedes faith. The Bible said faith worketh by love, so love precedes faith. And the only other thing that I can think of is hope. Before there is hope, before there is faith, there must be hope. If faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then hope is the womb for faith, the place where faith is conceived. It starts with hope. You just get a desire in your heart. This is what I'm hoping for. This is what I'm yearning for. This is what I'm longing for. And then it creates and births this wonderful thing called faith. Hopelessness is the miscarriage of faith. When you become hopeless, your faith actually dies. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:13 or 13:12, hope deferreth, make the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Ladies and gentlemen, hope is the tree of life. It's where everything springs from. It is from this tree, this root, that all that pertains to life flows. In spite of all of this, you'll be told over and over again in your life, don't get your hopes up. Not only told that by people that are not necessarily friends but adversarial, but you will be told that by the people that are the nearest to you. They want to protect you. People that mean the most to you in your life, your parents, your spouses, your siblings, your teachers, and yes, but even by many preachers. When I listen to preachers many times, I'm not encouraged at all. I'm discouraged. I turn them off quickly. Many times I've turned the television off and just switched channels and went to something secular because it was the message the preacher was preaching was having a negative effect on my hope and my faith. And you need to do that. The Bible said my ears try words like my tongue tries meat. If you can't tell the difference between Ruth Chris and McDonald's, I can't help you. And if you can't tell the difference between a ministry that is eroding your hope and destroying your faith and one that is encouraging you to be all that you can be, then I have a hard time helping you. People that love you the most, they just don't want to see you disappointed. And so when you begin to talk about something that is not yet manifest, something that is on the horizon, something that is just your dream, something that God has birthed in your spirit, if they can't share your dream and they don't have your faith and they don't have their vision and they have not been in a relationship with God like you have, they're going to want to let you down easy. And so they're going to say, don't get your hopes up. They don't want you to be disappointed. It's the mantra of the fearful. Don't get your hopes up. It's the banner of the doubtful. It's the declaration of the skeptical. It's the sedative of the unbeliever. Don't get your hopes up is the thought process that caused Esau to sell his birthright. It caused Saul to abdicate his throne. It caused the prodigal to head for the pig pen. And it caused Judas to betray Jesus. If expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles, anyone that says don't get your hopes up is trashing your dream. I'm here to tell you, get your hopes up. You need to have a dream for 2022 that you've never had in your life before. You need to have a sight on a horizon that you never, ever have journeyed to before. God is about to do something in your life that has never, ever happened. But it takes your help. It takes your assistance. You must collaborate with God on this dream and this vision and this hope that He has given you. You know, I've told you the two greatest statements that changed my life. One of those was Mike Murdoch when I heard him say, the will of God is seldom done on this earth. That flies in the face of the general philosophy of man. They think, well, the will of God is always done. Every crippled child is the will of God. Every car wreck that snuffs out a life is the will of God. Every hurricane that blows a trailer court off the face of the earth is the will of God, according to the logic of man. But Jesus told us to pray that the will of God would be done on earth, the will of the Father would be done on earth as it is in heaven. If the will of God was being constantly done, there's no need for Christ to solicit us to pray that way. And the Bible would say that He's not willing that any should perish, but people are perishing. When I began to let that marinate in my spirit, when I heard Mike say it 20-some years ago, he preached for us about 4 or 5 times here, and when he made that statement, it was shocking to me. And I realized that if I was going to be an overcomer, I had to walk through the minefield of this world and bring the will of God to pass in my life. I can't just sit still and hope that it happens. I can't just join the throng and say, well, God's going to bless some of us somehow, and it's just the will of God. It's just going to happen. I realize that I must chart my course. I realize that the number one thing in my life was to get my hopes up and begin to believe that my God is a great God that my God is a good God, and He saved me miraculously. And from that time forward, I would no longer be thwarted or limited by my fleshly failure, but I would rise above that. And God would cause me to excel above my abilities, that God would bless me in so many ways that I would have to acknowledge it's not because of my intellect or the work of my hands or my ability, but it is the grace of God that has been afforded to me. And when I get into that place, then my hope can go off the chart. The second thing was when Becky Fender said, and when she said it, I thought, I'm not sure that's true. That's exactly what I thought when I heard Mike say what he said. When Becky said, everything in life is a choice. I had to let that marinate a while. I had to look in the Word of God and find out it's true. God said before you, there's cursing and there's blessing. Choose. There's life and death. Choose. Every choice that you make is either going to come down in the category of cursing or blessing. Every choice you make is either going to come down in life or death. And when you take those two little philosophies, it tells you one thing. I got to get busy with my hope. I've got to reestablish my dream. I'm here to tell you to get your hopes up. The Bible tells us about Abraham who hoped against hope. What does that mean, hoping against hope? Because hoping against hope is a secular hope. And hope that is beyond that is a spiritual hope, and there's a whole lot difference. The secular hope just says, I hope things fall in place. But the spiritual hope said, I am not depending just on luck or circumstance. I'm depending on a God that will reestablish, reformulate, reframe, put together. All things work together to make that hope come to pass in my life. And so Abraham, it was a hopeless situation. He was now an old man married to an old woman, and yet he had this hope that he was going to have a son that was going to continue to be the father of many nations. Friend, it was a hope that was unbelievable, but God was telling him, I will do it. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to have that kind of hope, the hope that is against hope. That believes in the supernatural. Hope becomes something that we all want to realize that in the flesh, it's unobtainable. But when you get in the spirit, all things are possible. And God is saying to us, you cannot consider those things around you that are negative components that are going to affect your hope and your dream. Abraham had to look in the mirror and see an old man every day. We have a little room back here in the back where Diana comes in and cuts my hair, and it's just filled with mirrors. And I go in there, and I said to Diana once in a while, I said, who is that old man looking back at me? Well, friend, I'm not nearly as old as Abraham was, but when he looked in that mirror, he didn't see a youthful, spry, 20-year-old guy. He saw a 100-year-old man, and he had to consider not the deadness of his body. When he looked at Sarah, he saw an old, wrinkled woman, but he considered not the deadness of her womb. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to have the hope that is in your heart come to fruition, you've got to say, I do not consider everything that seems to be negative. I don't consider what the news report is. I don't consider what the COVID climate is. I don't consider what my family says about me. I don't consider about what my neighbors are saying about me. I don't consider what my friends are saying about me. I don't consider what my family says about me. I have latched on to a real dream, and my hope is alive, and my hope is getting higher every day that the impossible is going to come to pass in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is a mess. But it does not in any way deter me. It in no way erodes my dream. I've had a dream, such a young preacher, that there is going to be a mighty harvest in America, a revival that this nation has ever seen. And I believe that all things are being worked around, and there is going to be a great harvest. There is going to be a day where churches are filled. You talk about idolatry. I thought of this last night as I watched the Cowboys game, and I saw that great crowd of people, and they fill stadiums up in America. COVID or no COVID, people are going to go watch their sports. It is absolutely idolatry. It doesn't have to be if you keep it in the right perspective, but for so many people it is. But as I watched that, I thought, there is a day coming when we're going to see those stadiums filled with people coming to Christ. Back when Henry Cisneros, our past mayor, and I liked him, he was a good mayor. A few little problems he had really derailed him, his future, but he was a good guy, a great mayor. His dream was to build the Alamo Dome, and he had tremendous resistance. And somebody asked me way back then about the Alamo Dome, and they said, are you for or against the Alamo Dome? I said, I'm for the Alamo Dome because it's going to be a good place to have the end time revival that San Antonio is going to experience. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my hope, and I'm getting my hopes up every day. I am not motivated by what I see. I'm not motivated by a falling away. I am not motivated by people that quit, people that die, people that are stopping. I am convinced if God can give Abraham and Sarah a baby in their old age, in the old age of America, there is a revival coming. I hear the sound of going in the mulberry tree. Our greatest days are before us. That was Abraham's hope, and he would not let it die. And friend, I've got a hope, and my hopes are high. I'm getting my hopes up. He did not take in consideration the deadness of his own body, which was the lack of ability. The deadness of Sarah's womb, that was the inability of the third party. The impossibility of God's promise. None of that in any way did anything to dash his hopes. His hopes were high, and he kept elevating them. I want to tell you that the devil is trying to attack your hope, but you've got to get strong. You've got to get flinty-eyed. You've got to get some concrete in your backbone. Your voice has got to be loud and strong and say, I believe that my God is able. What he has promised, he is able to perform. Keep your hopes up when it is impossible. Here's a tough one. Keep your hopes up when it's too late. Somebody likes to say, and they'll tell you this in your lifetime, when you say, I believe so-and-so is going to happen, somebody will say, that ship has already sailed. But friend, the ship can turn around and come back. I don't care what they're saying. When he said, I'm on 100 and she's 90, all of his family said, it's too late. Keep your hopes up when it's too late. Keep your hopes up when your key players are your participants are either unwilling or unable to participate. Did you ever have a dream and a hope that required somebody else? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. If your hope is strong enough, God will not rob you of your future by somebody else's inability or lack of desire to participate in your dream. If they won't do it, somebody else will. If you will focus your faith and get your hopes up, there's not a person on planet Earth can stop you from having what God has promised you. There are plenty of people that will counsel you not to get your hopes up. Family that wants to protect you, friends that want to console you, competitors that fear you, peers that want to limit you, enemies that want to stop you. They will all say, don't get your hopes up. But praise God, I want to tell you, you've got a friend in the pulpit and a church that is here. And we're here to help you get your hopes up that you can be what you want to be, have what you want to have, do what you want to do, and participate in God's plan for you. So many that want to caution you to not get your hopes up, even though the Bible instructs that the faithful are to be careful for nothing. So many times when we lie in our life, we find ourselves surrounded like the psalmist David. When he was doing the will of God, all of a sudden his peers rose up. They got stones in their hands and were going to stone him to death. and there are people that want to stone your dream to death, you've got to somehow remove yourself from those people and say, my dream is greater than my reliance on you. My hopes are up. We must, regardless of the onslaught of dream attackers, just like David, we must learn to encourage ourselves. The greatest gift you can ever have is to be able to encourage yourself. Say, I don't care what they say. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what she says. I had a woman sit in my office 25 years ago and lay out her dream to me. And her dream was so big and so preposterous that I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I didn't tell her what I was thinking. I didn't share with what I was feeling. I just didn't think it would ever happen. But when I turned on my news a month or two later, of all people, she was sitting in the governor's office talking to Governor Bush. And her dream literally came to fruition, and she became a millionaire because she had more faith for her dream than her pastor had for her. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, if it's your dream, your faith ought to be greater for that than anybody else. If you have got a call of God on your life, your hope ought to be greater for that than your pastor or your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband. You just say, I've got a hope, and you can't dash my hope. My hopes are up that God is going to do what He's called me to do. We, like Caleb, whenever our peers decide it's over. You know, there are a lot of people that will try to be your time clock. They'll decide when you're through. They'll decide when you should quit. They will decide when you ought to give up on your dream. But we, like Caleb, when our peers decide it's over, when it's time for us to bow out, to fold our tents and go home, end the sentence of expectation with a period of defeat, it's time to get your hopes up and declare, I am stronger today than I've ever been. I'm closer to my victory than I've ever been. I'm on the edge of the greatest breakthrough I've ever known. And just stay tuned, because you ain't seen nothing yet, because God has called me and talked to me. Living Way Church has a tremendous legacy. But I heard somebody say that God's work is never decided by legacy. It's always decided from the forward pull of faith. It doesn't matter what's behind you. It doesn't matter how much failure there's been. God is on your side. If your faith is strong and your hopes are high, you cannot be defeated. Get your hopes up and declare, this is my best day. In the COVID day and the COVID decade, I am going to excel. I am going to overcome. Get your hopes up. One must base his hope upon the Word of God, not upon the temperament of his friends, not upon the condition of his generation. Base your hope upon the Word of God. With God, all things are possible. I base my hopes on that. His promises are varied and many, and there's one that will fit my situation. His promises are yes and amen. My hopes are up. God is able to perform that which He has promised. My hopes are up. God truly is our Father, and we are His Son. My hopes are up. He will not withhold any good thing from us. My hopes are up. He is indeed our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. My hopes are up. He will rebuke the adversary. My hopes are up. He will fight our every enemy. My hope is up. He absolutely is on my side. My hopes are up. He will blunt every weapon that is directed toward me. My hopes are up. All things work together for good. My hopes are up. He has a plan for me to seed and not to fail. My hopes are up. Lo, He is with us forever, even to the end of the world. My hopes are up. All of creation groans with expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this is the generation, and this is the time for the sons of God to be manifested. My hopes are up. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There is something breaking. There is something about to happen. The Apostle Peter thought perhaps He had gone past the point of no return. I heard that stupid sermon preached all the time when I was a kid. Past the point of no return. That's quite a sermon. It means that some point God's grace is finished. That God's mercy stops. That at some point in time, God repents that he ever created you. Everything that you place in that sermon is diametrically opposed to the Word of God. And Peter in his flesh thought, perhaps I have passed the point of no return. I've turned my back on Christ. I've cursed at his very name. I've walked away from him. But friends, suddenly he got his hopes back up because there he was in the boat and he saw somebody standing on the shoreline. It looked like the crucified one. It looked like the one that had been on the cross. It looked like the one that had been in the tomb. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how you failed and fallen. I don't care what mistakes you made in 2021 and beyond. You have not passed the point of no return. This is your day. His calling and election is sure. He will not repent of that calling. And God said, I've called you to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Peter, get your hopes up. You little lying rascal, you little failure, get your hopes up because there's a better day coming. The church is about to be born. And guess what? You're going to be my preacher. You're going to be my spokesman. Ladies and gentlemen, your sin cannot eradicate the grace of God. Your failure cannot stop the mercy of the Lord. My God is greater, and that God is on your side. The God of the universe walks the aisles of Living Way Church on this Sunday in January of 2022, and his message is, get your hopes up. I'm going to do what you've dreamed about. I'm going to give you what you've asked for. I'm going to manifest what you've prayed for. I am a God that is able, and I am just looking for people that have got their hopes up and will not be diminished in any way. The Apostle Paul stood on a death ship, a prisoner headed for Rome. The storm came. Everybody panicked. They threw their tackle and possessions aboard. And the Apostle Paul said it this way, we could not see the sun for days. And finally he said, all hope was gone. That's his very words. When all hope was gone, suddenly there stood beside me an angel. And the angel said, be of good cheer. Somebody that lost their faith in 2021, watching by television, looking on social media, sitting in the pew, somebody that lost your faith in 2021, and you say, all hope is gone. That same angel that stood beside Paul is standing beside you right now, and this is his message. Be of good cheer, for all will be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, you haven't lost a thing. You thought a few battles was the war, but you're going to win the war. God's on your side. This is the greatest day you've ever lived in. This is the greatest expectation you've ever had. The greatest miracle you've ever known is now ripping aside the cover. It is about to be exposed to you. That miracle in disguise, it's about to come out of the disguise. You're going to see the miracle face to face and say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I just didn't know. It's something when you come to that realization. I bought a horse one time for $4,000, and my daddy had been in horses all of his life, and he didn't realize the prices of the horses. And he said to me, son, why would you give $4,000 for that horse? It will never, ever be worth that much again. He just happened to be in my barn when a man walked around that horse and said, Steve, what do you want for the horse? I said, $10,000. And he said, I'll take him. My daddy, the color drained out of his face. He said, I want to apologize to you, son. I just didn't understand. Well, there's a whole lot of people that have been chastising you for your dream, chastising you for your vision, chastising you for your hope. They're not bad people. They're your mama. They're your daddy. They're your friends. They're your spouse. They're your coworkers. They just don't understand who you are and what you've got and what God has planned for you. And so praise God, it's time for you to rise up and say, hey, look what the Lord has done. My hopes are high that I am about to come into the place that God has called me. This is my finest hour. All hope might have been gone, but praise God, it's back. And he said, nobody is going to be lost. And sure enough, they weren't. Israel in captivity thought all hope was gone. We sat down by the river of Chebar, and there we cried. And suddenly somebody said, get your harps down from the willow and sing the Lord's song in a strange land. We took our harps from the willows and began to strum them, and suddenly our captivity was turned to domination. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not time to give up your prayer. It's not time to evacuate your praise. It's not time to lose your faith. It's not time to bury your talent. It's time to sing your song. It's time to preach your sermon. It's time to pray your prayer. It's time to make your declaration. It's time to shout it from the rooftops. My hope is high, and the best is yet to come. Stand on your feet and give God some praise in this building today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I read about a man that was so successful in America. He was from Germany. He was in one of the German prison camps. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. He said, there was an old man beside me. This man became a multimillionaire in America. But he said, there was an old man beside me. And he said, all through the night, I hugged the old man. I rubbed the old man. I brushed his cheeks. I did everything I could for the old man. And when the sun rose, I looked around, and everybody was dead, frozen to death in that prison camp, except me and the old man. And God spoke to me. He said, you're alive because you kept the old man warm. That's what kept you alive. And he said, from that day forward, he said, I had a dream. And my dream was that I was going to spend a lifetime keeping other people alive. And so he said, here I am, 80-some years of age, worth tens of millions of dollars, not because I kept myself alive, because I kept other people's alive. Ladies and gentlemen, I have got hope, and it's off the chart, and my hope includes you. It includes you. Praise God, we're in this thing together, and we are going to see the biggest events of our life. They're going to happen in this church building, and they're going to happen in your house. They're going to happen in the church family, and they're going to happen in your family. They're going to happen to me. They're going to happen to you. They're going to happen to her. They're going to happen to him. We're in this thing together. Encourage one another. Encourage somebody else's dream. Take somebody else's hope and help them hold it up. Be the person that holds the hands up so the victory continues. Ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. I mourn those that we lost to COVID in 2021. But I've got to believe that I had COVID in about 3 days. I didn't feel too good. There's a reason why it didn't take me out like it did my brother pastor in Lake Charles, Louisiana. God spared me for such a time. There's a reason why you are alive. There's a reason why God's got you in the hollow of his hand and no man can pluck you out. And God said, get your hopes up. I didn't just save you just to be. I saved you to be exceptional. This is your greatest hour and this is your greatest time. I challenge you to get your hopes up. And if you believe that God is about to do something in your life that you've yearned for, prayed for, believed for a long time in this year, I challenge you to rush this altar, lift your hands up, and shout to the top of your lungs, my hope is up. My hope is up. My hope is up. Good things are coming down the road. I see it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Shikoromahala.